coming up this week on the Course of Life podcast. The President's Cup came and went, brought the usual result, but some new stars rose and some fun moments from the week at Quail Hollow and a thrilling LPGA finish that you need to hear about. We're tuned into some comedy, some car trouble, and all the crazy things in life in between outside of sports. This week's guest is my friend Jeremy from locally here in Austin, who helped create and run the Eastside Mini Open. This is a really cool bar crawl slash mini golf event that I am playing in soon. Very excited to introduce everyone to this. And it is all things pumpkin. It's pumpkin a la Palooza because it's just that time of the year. And we're also talking a little mocktail action as well when we always end with food, all of it brought to you by our friends at Desert Fox Golf. We love the Swing Aid tumblers, especially when, Mike, it is still 90 plus degrees in Austin, Texas, as we end the month of September.
Yep.
Absolutely horrible, but when it's hot out there on the course, you need hydration. The Swing Aid tumbler keeps your cool beverage exactly the way you need it to be, icy cold for your entire round. I love it. You can use it with water or you can use it with a little something else. If you're starting a party of your own, cocktail or mocktail, it's a great way to keep your beverage cold. Check out the Swing Aid tumblers at desertfoxgolf.com. They also make the Foam Caddy, which we know and love, and some other great golf merch as well. Again, it's desertfoxgolf.com. Promo code Course of Life. Promo code Course of Life to save 10% off at desertfoxgolf.com.
Hello, interwebs, and welcome to Course of Life, part of the Morning Read Podcast Network. We are proud to be presented by our friends at Desert Fox Golf and Tee Up Golf. I'm Michael, he's Alex. And Alex, I don't know if you saw it, but Max Homa was unwell this morning. And that is because he was partying all night along with the rest of the U.S. team because they put a beating on the internationals, which has kind of become expected at this point.
Very regular occurrence for the President's Cup.
Yeah, but that beating looked like it was going to happen Saturday. Actually, there was an opportunity to clinch the cup on Saturday, which would have been just beyond embarrassing for the internationals. But Tom Kim said no. And so did the rest of the international squad on Saturday afternoon. So they got to push it off till Sunday. And then on Sunday, the U.S. team made it happen.
We got the stealthy fight from the international team, though, which was good.
Yeah, the international team, I thought, did have a lot of fight to them. A lot of young guys here that still don't have a lot of experience in this and maybe didn't recognize the nerves or how it was going to work for them. But, I mean, Tom Kim, breakout star of the President's Cup, ripping pants and pumping up the crowd right and left, was certainly the guy that everyone was rooting for until Max Homa quieted him down on Sunday.
Yeah, there was a lot of great personality on Quail Hollow on both sides. And it was neat to see first-timers like Homa on the U.S. side sink their teeth in, have big clutch winning putts, and enjoying the success of Spieth and Justin Thomas, who are obviously the anchors of Team U.S. in all respects. We got to shout them out. But yeah, it's what we saw from the international team and a surprising amount of fight from Trevor Immelman's team. And Tom Kim, a guy we originally knew as Ju Young Kim, we learned quickly when he won the Wyndham Championship, Mike, that he was really called Tom Kim. He loved Thomas the Tank Engine growing up. Remember, that's our fun little fact on Tom Kim. And that's how he got the name he now possesses today as his unofficial nickname. And he was a crowd favorite, a young star in golf, and part of that Korean contingent, which was surprisingly adapted and welcomed by even the Team USA crowd at Quail Hollow, despite the loss. So a lot of goodwill all around, despite the fact that this was that usual result of the US beatdown.
Yeah. The question here is, I have two questions about the President's Cup. The first is that, first of all, Davis Love III did a great job navigating ropes while in his golf cart. And the NBC crew did not let us forget how good he was at that and how poor other people in the golf world have not been at navigating ropes.
So okay, that's not a question, but I like that you stated that. It's just a nice little pot shot at Bryson there.
It's a tangent. But that brings us to the first question about both sides were decimated by LIV Golf. The international side more so, I think, than the U.S. because the U.S. side was deeper. But Did it matter? Do we feel like we were missing DJ and Bryson and Koepka and Cam Smith? Louis Oosthuizen. Do we feel like we're missing these guys, or was this maybe better because there were these young guys trying to make a difference?
I think it was better as a result, maybe. And it's one of those things where, you know, I'm always thinking about like the spread and the odds. I think the United States are permanently a 2-touchdown favorite in all these President's Cups until future notice. You know, add in DJ and Brooks, add in Cam Smith and Leishman, Joaquin Neiman, Abraham Mansur. That's maybe a wash, and I still think you're getting a similar result. So that, which is more impressive, and it shows that this younger international contingent might actually really buy in for real and get together and unite around being part of future President's Cups teams together. So that was intriguing, at least for the future of this rivalry, to get a little bit of that sizzle, especially from the young Koreans. I got to say, I was really blown away by them. Siwoo Kim, Sungjae, KH Lee, mm-hmm. and as you mentioned, Tom Kim. They all were very impressive.
Yeah, and that you know, the impressiveness of the international team and kind of the way they really came together here also makes me ask the question, do we think in 2 years when they're back in Canada for this, do we think the U.S. is really going to be a 2-touchdown favorite if the international squad remains this strong, if not stronger, over the next 2 years?
Yeah, and they keep
this
Taylor
is actually going to become competitive. Yeah,
they keep Taylor Pendrith on his home turf there. Corey Connors played horrible all week for the international team and would be on his home turf there. And then you add in maybe whoever comes in the pipeline in the next 18 months, plus what you just saw there and most of that framework. Maybe Adam Scott's on his way out, but someone else is on his way in. And that's a pretty good core. So that makes this event foreseeably more competitive in future years. Which is encouraging. So the overall, I like where the President's Cup is. Yeah, it's the opposite of the Ryder Cup, where the U.S. struggle mightily to find their momentum and finally just did it Whistling Straits. But overall, this has been U.S. dominated and continues to be.
Let's talk about the LPGA, because they had a lot of drama on Sunday as well out there when Danielle Kang eagle from the fairway on 18 to force a playoff. I mean, just
talk about clutch.
Unbelievable. I mean, yeah.
The hole out from the fairway is always a boss move, because it's one of those things where you say it maybe jokingly as you step up the shot, you know, I need to hole this wedge out to break 100 or 90 or 80, you know? Yeah. Okay, great. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. You made it close enough to where you need to pitch a ball into the hole from 50 yards out. Yeah. Best of luck with that. And yep. Danielle Kang actually accomplished that feat in the moment on the 72nd hole. Amazing stuff. She posted on social media. That's like going to be a core memory for her. And I totally agree. That is like a core memory golf shot whenever you hole out in the moment like that. Unfortunately, she did come up short in the playoff. But from what we have learned about Danielle Kang and her recent health struggles and everything she's gone through in recent months, just great to see her back in that winning position again.
Yeah, like you said, wasn't able to turn it into victory after a 2-hole playoff, where instead the 19-year-old from Thailand, I'm going to butcher the name because this is what I do.
Pronunciation time.
Ataya Titikul.
Nice work. Good job. Ataya Titikul. Okay, nice work. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. 19-year-old, won for the second time in 2022. So we have a young breakout star from Thailand. Doing great there in a playoff. So again, the LPGA, a lot of great young stars, a lot of multiple winners this year on tour for them as well.
Very exciting.
And there you go. The Walmart
great finish on the LPGA, Arkansas as usual. Always a good tournament there. Northwest Arkansas and produced a great finish.
We had the DP World Tour as well this weekend. Where were they? They were outside of Paris, right?
They were, yeah. The French Open, I saw some blips, and the funny highlight that we should talk about from that before we get to our friend of the show update is the Thomas Peters whiff. I didn't want to putt it, but I did putt, where he hit a 40-foot putt about 3.5 feet. You saw that on Twitter. You're at MWRINC, and I'm at Course of Life 1. We got a good chuckle out of that one. Thomas Peters, clearly not fit for the LIV Tour if he couldn't handle that little cough in his backswing.
Yeah, you know, it sounds like there was some sort of sound or something that distracted him. He wanted to stop it, but I don't think I've ever seen somebody do that on a putting green.
Yeah, so check out Twitter at MWRINC for that little clip. That was quite a unique moment. And our friend of the show, Jared Hack, who you remember from Las Vegas, famously shot that amazingly low. What was that? 56, 55, 57. He shot one of those 50 rounds, and we love profiling those guys. He is making his way through DP World Tour Q School right now. Here to report, he successfully has made it through the first stage. He is on to stage 2. Oh, Mike, how cool would it be if we had just a resident Course of Life guest who's just a regular on the DP World Tour? I've always said this. The DP World Tour may not be the best or the most exclusive tour in the world, but it is the coolest tour in the world to play. So it would be nice to see him make it out there.
Yeah, it would be awfully awesome to be playing out there every week.
It's a travel show every week, basically.
Pretty much.
So best of luck to Jared.
This weekend, the PGA Tour season continues in this new young season after the President's Cup, and they go to the exciting Sanderson Farms Championship.
Yeah, Jackson, Mississippi, Country Club of Jackson. You can check out my preview on runyourpool.com with full betting thoughts and odds there. But this is another opportunity field right now. It's week after President's Cup. The field is very weak, very light. You can trim through it right now, but there's not many names out there outside of your past champions who are representing. So shout out to Sam Burns for making this trip to Mississippi right after his President's Cup celebration win. Sebastian Munoz, Stuart Sink, past winners there. Keegan Bradley, Harris English. Now, that's pretty much it for the field from the first scan I did through. But opportunity for a lot of young guys, a lot of rookies, a lot of new Korn Ferry Tour grads, and our friend Taylor Montgomery, too, to post another great finish as well.
Yep. So we'll have our picks up on Twitter on Wednesday as well. Course of Life 1 on Twitter. I'm at MWRINC.
Yes.
Let's change over to Tuned In and share what we're tuning into outside of the world of sports. Alex, British Bake Off is back. I don't know if you knew.
Nice. Well, I mean, you know, I'm fully entrenched in Halloween baking on the Food Network right now. So I am getting my weekly baking fix. But what's going on British Bake Off?
So they actually, I didn't even know, they dropped two episodes. We only watched one last night to start off the season. Cake Week, first week, Cake Week. And oddly enough, I'm going to spoiler for a moment. Spoiler. You ready?
Oh boy.
I'm going to spoil something.
Cover your ears, everybody.
The guy who gets kicked off broke his buttercream frosting twice in the signature challenge and then broke it again later. And I just don't understand how you break a buttercream frosting because it's like impossible.
Well, and three times frosting. You said?
Yeah, he broke it three times. It's
you
just,
know, what is it? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. But then fool me three times. I mean, you're just an idiot at that point.
I mean, it's just like I just don't understand how he did it the first time to begin with. It's just, it's a buttercream frosting. It's not
frosting hard. Drama on the British Bake Off. Tune into that. Love it. My quick tune-in shout-out is Andrew Schultz, favorite stand-up comedian of mine. Seen him live. He has a great new special out called Infamous. You can get it for free on YouTube now, so check that out. But I was tuned into all sorts of car trouble, Mike. The joys of being an adult. And this is when you know that I'm ready to move on to a new car. I've emptied out the trunk, and even the golf clubs have been removed. So that's how you know I'm officially on the market and shopping for my new car after an 11-year run with my Kia.
What happened to the Kia? What happened?
A calamity of everything. I had to shift cable replacement. And then there was a great moment where I was on the road and the battery just decided to die. So I just had to pull over into the shoulder and frantically restart the car just to get it going again. So lots of trouble, lots of fun, lots of exciting stories. But the bottom line is the run's over for the Kia and we're officially shopping. So if anyone has any car advice or thoughts, hit me up on Twitter and let me know what works for a sedan that fits golf clubs nicely.
Well, I can tell you just right off the bat, just from buying a new car for the wife a year and a half ago here, Subaru Outback is the way to go. It's big, it's roomy, it drives great, it's comfortable.
Okay. I'm not against Subaru. Okay.
I mean, I'm a big Subaru guy. I've had a Subaru for, oh man, long time now, eight, nine years. Wife has Subaru now. She loves it. Subarus are great. They run forever. They never
break. And I'm not a huge car guy, so I'm not married or have any allegiance to any brand. So I can be swayed in any direction. So I'll add that to the list. Love it.
There you go. All right. Let's get into this week's guest. Alex, you recently caught wind of this event down there in Austin called the East Side Mini Open. Yeah. It's a combination bar crawl, mini golf event sort of thing. And, you're going to be a contestant, right? You're in the field.
Oh yeah. Oh, I'm playing. Don't you worry. I will be participating. Sign me up. It's next Saturday for anyone in Texas or Central Texas interested. Saturday, October 8th, all afternoon, evening event with a closing party as well too. I'll be checking it out in many capacities. Several vendors and bars contributing, and if you throw in mini golf, you know I'm there. So we're talking with the founder, the guy who helped create it all, Jeremy himself. And it's a very neat event with a cool background and a really neat purpose as well.
That's right. And we'll get to that conversation in just a moment. But first, let's talk about a new apparel brand and now a partner of us here, Tee Up Golf. And Alex, when you first told me about Tee Up Golf, you told me about their awesome polos and their even better joggers that they make for golf. And as listeners of the podcast know, I have not been kind to the jogger.
Mostly
when the jogger is being worn by Justin Thomas out on the golf course, because he's the one who usually wears it. And I am not a fan of him wearing joggers out there on the course during rounds in the PGA Tour. However, that said, we got a pair of these joggers in the mail and I wore them out Friday evening. They were very comfortable. They were nice and soft. They didn't really feel like a jogger.
Reformed.
And the wife even said she really liked how they looked on me. So that's, I mean, that's props all around. Uh-oh. Right there.
Interesting. Well, that's the biggest selling point right there.
they feel like they'd be good and comfortable on the golf course, but that's going to be the hurdle for me is now wearing them on the golf course. But I can say with strong recommendation, outside of the course, they're a very comfortable pant, and we'll report back once I wear them on the course.
That's awesome. So there's one review in the bucket right there. I'll get back to you with mine once I go out and play on the course. But check out Tee Up Golf and what they've done to not only modernize style, but branding and fashion in the game of golf. It's a really cool brand with a neat backstory. Check out everything they have to offer and use our promo code COL15 for 15% off Tee Up products. Again, check out Tee Up Golf, their website, their socials. You know how to find them. They make great quality, high line of the gear, apparel for all golfers. I'm trying the joggers out. I can't wait. So check out Tee Up Golf now. Next up, from right in my backyard here in Austin, Texas, we got a local bar industry veteran, worked a lot on the east side. The east side of Austin has changed a ton since the 12 years since I arrived here. But what hasn't changed has been the alliance between the local businesses there. And this guy joining us is the creator and one of the organizers of the East Side Mini Open. A super unique event that molds the service industry, mini golf, a bar crawl all together. Here to talk about it is Jeremy joining us from the East Side Mini Open team. Jeremy, how you doing today?
Doing well, Alex. How are you today?
Very good. As soon as I got wind of this concept, knowing our background on the podcast, our love for the game of golf, mini golf, and all things social, I knew I had to have you on. I'm very curious, this East Side Mini Open, you've got a lot of experience in the service industry in Austin. Tell me how the event specifically came together a few years back.
Well, yeah, Alex. Well, first of all, thanks for having me. Always excited to talk about the Mini Open. Definitely. The concept, putt-putt really isn't anything new. So this concept came about, I was having a conversation with a coworker of mine, an older guy from Minneapolis. And so now, I no longer work in the service industry. I've got a day job. So I was talking to an old, friend of mine, an older guy, he's from Minneapolis, and Austin had just had one of its infamous ice storms, right?
Yes.
Austin, freezes over.
The whole world stops for a week when that happens as well, too.
Everything stops, especially the bar business, right? So, Lauren, my buddy, was telling me how up in Minneapolis, where he kind of grew up, they'd get tons of snow. That didn't stop people from doing anything, right? So there was a handful of bars right outside of Minneapolis that whenever they'd get a nice, good snowstorm, these bars would basically throw up these putting greens inside the bar, right? So there'd be a handful of bars with these putting greens. And my buddy Lauren was telling me how, he and his brothers, they'd take off on their snowmobiles and they would just go play putt-putt
at all of these. That sounds like quite the day. Love it.
At all of these bars, right? And just spend the day playing putt-putt, playing mini golf, you know, whoever lost had to buy the next round at the next bar, right? And they'd just be going back and forth on their snowmobiles all over, you know, the outskirts of Minneapolis, just having a good time. So essentially that thought just really stuck in my head. And I thought it sounded like a lot of fun. So I texted my friend Shannon one day and I said, hey, man, you know, this winter, we should try to do one of the do a party. Let's, you know, maybe we'll get 9 bars and have 9 holes, and we'll pick a day, we'll put flyers up, and rain, snow, ice, whatever the weather is, we're going to have this party. And, you know, if every bar has 10 or 15 people come out, it should be pretty fun, right?
Yeah, that's a win for everybody. Yeah,
exactly. So, you know, we texted a few of our friends to see if anyone would be interested. You know, it seemed like a good idea to pretty much everyone we talked to. So, man, before we knew it, we had, you know, 16 bars or so that wanted to be involved.
Very cool. And you're super deep with the rotation of East Side bars, and talk about that part of the city of Austin. Maybe one of the parts of the city that doesn't get visited enough for people who are just in town for a weekend that should check out. But the East Side has obviously undergone a lot of change, but I mentioned the local businesses, you know, being an alliance, right, and kind of working together on this concept. Just talk to me about that group and those group of East Side bar owners that have come together to create something like this.
Well, so, you know, you go back 10 years ago, there were a handful of bars scattered throughout East Austin. They were kind of off the beaten path.
Yep.
Away from downtown, yet very walkable, as everyone seemed to figure out, right? Now, when you walk around down there, you know, there's condo after condo. Well, all these bars are still peppered in, right? These local bars, most of them are ran and or owned or both by veterans of the, you know, the old bar scene. Everyone kind of cut their teeth working in music venues downtown. Yeah. And, you know, the progression of things is you'd end up with your own bar, right? So our idea with the East Side Mini Open was really, especially at this time 5 years ago, right? You know, we wanted to make sure to be able to get foot traffic in all the bars. So that's, you know, we thought, hey, what better idea than this, bar crawl, putt-putt, you know, I've heard a few people refer to it as a kind of a bar crawl on steroids or a pound and putt, you know. It is
but love it.
It's a lot of fun. But anyway, when, you know, like you said earlier, when you go down there now versus 5 years ago, foot traffic really isn't an issue the way it was then. But that's still really the heart of our concept, is just a community forward, mini golf, kind of a gala, right? So, it's a one-day only event. The bars all contribute by hosting a hole that they build, and they'll partner with a local beer company or a local whiskey or, you know, local distillery to kind of make this team, right, to build their hole. And at the end of the day, that's really, you know, everyone comes out to play putt-putt, compete with your friends. Now, yeah, the real competition is the people building the holes. So they're competing for a trophy that we had made 5 years ago by a local builder. His name, he goes by Chaos Woods. He's a local woodworker. So he made this really cool wooden kind of a chalice looking.
It's impressive. Yeah. And it's right, East Side Mini Open on Instagram. For those of us who are listening right now, want to check that trophy out. And that and the woodworking on the hole designs are so intricate too. These are not your average like backyard putt-putt setups. They're very intricately put together.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. A lot of creativity goes in. The teams take it really serious. I think the Grackle, so they team up with the Austin Facial Hair Club, and they've won this thing 3 years in a row. They're determined to continue winning. I think they started working on their build back in April. So they've been at it for a while, and they've had a roulette wheel, kind of a putting course, a putting green. It was like had this roulette wheel involved. They've done kind of a I don't know if you remember the game Mousetrap, but they yes. kind of wow. they kind of did a take on that 1 year.
Good callback, yeah.
It's really fun. One of the bars.
The dynasty for the Austin Facial Hair Club they've got on their hands right now.
Yeah, they're a busy bunch. they're really enthusiastic about everything that they do. So having them be involved with this, they've definitely helped put us on the map just because of their enthusiasm. They're just a fun bunch of people. This year we've added the Texas Roller Derby. They're going to be building a hole, so we're excited to see what they come up with. It's a lot of fun. We've got Still Austin Whiskey. The distillery's building a hole. We've got Austin Beer Works building a hole. It's just all in the name of fun. And of course, we donate quite a bit of our proceeds to an animal charity every year. So this year we've chosen Bully Ranch.
Yeah, and tell everyone about Bully Ranch. I really hadn't heard of this charity until I saw the website. But what the proceeds go to for people that don't know?
So Bully Ranch, bully breeds are one of the most, if you go to any animal shelter or rescue, one of the top breeds you're going to see are bully breeds. And I think one of the next top you'll see are Chihuahuas. So we've worked with charities from both the Chihuahua breeds and also the bully breeds.
Nice.
And yeah. Bully Ranch, they take in rescues, they place them with fosters till they can find their forever home. So, it really takes a lot of work and a lot of funds. They get a lot of these dogs and, they need medical attention. They need a lot of assistance on top of, just the day-to-day food for the animals and shelter. So, it really makes us feel good. We're all animal lovers, so we like to take part and do our part to help out, with these charities. It's a lot of fun.
Very exciting. Again, Jeremy joining us from the Eastside Mini Open team. It's October 8th, Saturday, here in Austin, Texas. I'll be checking it out for sure. So you're all following now at COL Podcast on Instagram, and I'll be showing you my journey through the tournament. What should the recommended attire be, Jeremy? I'm sure you've seen a wide range of fashion statements and outfits in tournament years past. Am I not right?
We sure have. We see some great outfits. We try to come up with as many prizes as we can, and definitely we have a ride or die category of prize. So you come out with your ride or die, your right hand person. You can do a team outfit. You can come solo. We have another category where people build their own putters. So if you want to combine, build your own putter and coordinate it with your outfit, by all means, bring it on.
Okay.
We also award the best putters. We award the second best score ever. We award the second worst score ever to kind of keep things interesting.
You never know when you stand to win something, right?
So, yeah, I would say, dress for the weather appropriate. It's going to be in October. It could be cooler, but that only lends itself to more layers. Just be yourself. Let your inner golfer come out and have some fun.
Love it. I'm getting all the putt-putt mini golf holy moly vibes from this, and I can't wait to show off the event. For anyone who's going to be in Central Texas, be sure to check this out. Jeremy from the Eastside Mini Open team. Let's wrap with our 19th hole question. I think this is going to be a tricky one. You know the service industry, you know the Eastside, and we're going to be hopping to a lot of interesting venues along the way through tournament day. I'll be sure to document them. But what is maybe your go-to order? If you had to find a meal or maybe a drink on the East Side at one of these host bars, what would you recommend tournament patrons and players check out?
Oh, man, you're going to put me on the spot with that one.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking in my head, there's a variety of cocktail bars that we're going to be hitting up on the day. And I'm also thinking in my head, there's definitely, it's the East Side, so there's got to be some bomb food trucks attached to at least one, if not several of these places. So what could be the play for someone playing?
Every one of these places, every one of the venues has food. Each one of them has something that you've got to try from they're, you know, probably one of the older trucks over there is at the Liberty Bar. They've got their steamed sticky buns that you've got to try.
Yes.
And then they do like beet fries, I believe. Now, speaking of beets, Yellow Jacket's got it's a pretty famous beet sandwich that if you haven't had, man, you've got to give that a try. So, you know, the Cavalier, they've got some of the best wings that I've had, kind of tropicals, got a cheeseburger. They've got I think one of my favorite dishes over there is a pulled jackfruit barbecue sandwich.
Fascinating. You know,
you've got to try. So, I mean, definitely come hungry, plan on spending the day. You know, you can go to each of these places with your friends, order a couple of things off the menu and split them up so that you'll have a little more appetite left for the next bar, and just make a full day of it.
Absolutely, Jeremy. It sounds like this is more than a mini golf event. This is a food and alcohol tour as well, too. So for anyone who wants to participate in that, be sure to check out the Eastside Mini Open. Jeremy, thank you so much for hopping on. Looking forward to enjoying the event.
Thank you, Alex. Thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to seeing you. And you guys stay safe out there. We'll see y'all on the 8th.
And we're back. Great chat there with Jeremy. I'm excited to see everything that you post from here, like the different holes and the designs they use for it and the outfits and everything, and any specialty beverages. Even though I'm not a drinker, I'm still excited to see what sort of things may be going on here.
Oh yeah, but you're a sucker for a photo of a nice cocktail, though, as you've proven recently at Always End with Food on Instagram as well, too.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that too. But yeah, this is sure to be exciting. Good, cool way to go through downtown Austin here.
It is. Yeah, it's gonna be neat. I love these East Side bars. They're like old staples of Austin. For someone who is quite technically an oldie, I've been here for 12 years and seen a lot of change. What hasn't is the Alliance in that neighborhood, and it's neat to see them all come together. And in the form and name of mini golf, I am there. So follow me at Course Life Alex on Instagram and COL Podcast for the next couple of weeks, building up to and on the day of that event. Looking forward to it.
And make sure you punch that subscribe button on the podcast app you're using right now so you don't miss another interview like that, plus hearing stories from Alex's time. What's the line right now on you winning this, by the way?
Well, I mean, as you heard, it's definitely going to be a heavy hill to climb to beat the Austin Facial Hair Club. They are basically the dominator. They are one of the GOATs. Maybe even you could say the Roger Federer of the East Side Mini Open. So that's dominance that's going to be hard to match, but I'm hopefully up for the challenge.
All right. That brings us to a great segue here. Good job there, Alex. Let's talk about Roger Federer.
Let's. Wow. Is that what we're talking about next? Funny. Wow. Yeah. That was pure coincidence.
I know, right? The tennis game has seen two greats exit the court this year. Of course, we had Serena Williams.
You and I watched Serena Williams in New Mexico exit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we had that, her quote unquote transition away from tennis, and that moment. But the amount of tears that came out from Roger Federer and Rafa Nadal and everything of the LaVar Cup this past week was just like, oh my God, you thought someone was dying the way Federer was crying out there.
Yeah, it was full on waterworks, and Nadal too. Really. Yeah. I mean, it was quite an emotional moment watching Roger Federer hanging up another legend of the game. One of those three pillars. When you're going to talk about tennis in this era forever, you're always going to mention three names, and it's going to meet Nadal, Djokovic, and Federer. They went hand in hand. They've each had their turn at being the best in their own way for long periods of time. I always equate it to like tennis basically had three male Tiger Woods careers all happened at the same time. So they've been very blessed this age to have these stars in the way that they have. And Federer's been a pivotal part of that for a long time.
That's right. I don't know how much of my childhood Federer really makes up, though. He's been around for what, like 25 years, something like that. He's been in the game for so long. I still remember Pete Sampras and his time. And that's who I think of when I think of a tennis great. But Federer was much better than Sampras, that's for sure.
He was, and the major record proves it too. So dominant. I think each of those three guys have gotten to at least 20 majors right now, which is, it's that perfect tennis golf analogy. I mean, you're winning 20 majors in a four major a year format sport like that. You're crazy. Doing something amazing.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know what else was amazing this weekend, Alex? Your college football picks.
Wow. This is absolutely a bragging moment for me because you're not going to have many heater days like this. And my Saturday, I was in fuego from start to finish, 10-2 against the spread. My 12 total picks that I put on Twitter on Saturday morning. I do it every Saturday morning. You can't say you missed it because it's like clockwork. Just as college game day gets going, you see my picks on Twitter. That is a rule of thumb for college football Saturday. So I hope everyone was following along in some capacity because always a fun day when you're just winning money all the time.
Yeah, really is. I do have to ask, remind me, did you have Georgia Southern beating Ball State there, by the way?
I did not. No bet on the Eagles. They're on my radar, obviously, since the Nebraska win, though. So I'm watching for them later this year, especially when conference play gets sticky. And you know I'm going to love them in whatever bowl game they play. They'll be like 9-3, 10-2. They'll be an underdog to some bigger school, and I'll be betting the crap out of them. So they're on my radar. But follow Twitter to check out those picks. And hopefully you can ride another heater week like that with me. If I can generate one more of those this season, it's a successful year.
Yeah. So 10-2 in college football. On the NFL side, you went 3-2. Not bad. Not great, but not bad.
Good enough. Good enough to be winners. More winners than losers, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So you had more winners than losers in your picks, but you as a Patriots fan, not so much.
Holy crap, Mike.
How are you feeling right now?
This is literally like, you can go ahead. Like, this is the time to just kind of like, when I'm unconscious in the street fight, to just get like your last kicks in my side now.
Are you waving the white flag already?
I mean, this is as down as I'll probably be in this podcast history, I would say. I mean, we are at Cam Newton levels of depression right now. Ooh, 1-2 with a hurt Mac Jones. It's a severe high ankle sprain. They're not sure if it's going to require surgery, but regardless, he's going to be out at least the next few weeks. I'm already saying that now. People are only counting him out for a week or two. I'm telling you, it's going to be several weeks. We're looking at Brian Hoyer or Bailey Zappi, a quarterback. This could get very weird or very disastrous really soon. So buckle up if you're a Patriots fan.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting for sure. We are recording this podcast on a Monday afternoon like we usually do. So the Giants, my 2-0 Giants have not played the Cowboys yet, but I'm pretty confident they're going to win. So let's just go ahead and say now, Giants 3-0. We're going all the way. Look out,
I love
baby.
The optimism. Yeah, no. Yep. So I'll look forward to be watching and previewing the Giants action next week. Check out runyourpool.com for the NFL and college football previews. They will be up by Wednesday. So by the time you hear this right now, you should see them up on runyourpool.com.
As I said on Twitter too, Alex, this was a great weekend because the U.S. Won the President's Cup and the Yankees swept the Red Sox.
Yeah, geez. I mean, wow. Now that you're running through the headlines this week, this episode kind of stinks for me right now.
it's not a good time to be Alex right now.
Outside of the fact I got to win this East Side Mini Open, I mean, that's what I got going for me right now. I got to be head down for that tournament the next week and a half because it is ugly on the Boston sports scene. Yankees sweep the Sox. And your boy, I think he's going after some sort of record or something. I don't know. I've heard a little bit about it. Is that a thing or no?
Yeah, Aaron Judge sitting at 60 home runs, looking to tie Roger Maris for 61.
Could be there already. Could have passed 62. It already by the time we
By the time this podcast out, that's true. Also holding on to the triple crowned as well. Just barely as of recording time. Just barely. Xander Bogaerts trying to topple that.
I mean, whatever we can do to just rain on this parade, because this is all ugly right now. I'm even asking for consolation prizes at this point. Yeah. That's where
I'm
at.
Whatever you can get. But Yankees still looking good. I'm not maybe as confident as I was at the beginning of the season about their chances of winning the World Series, but I'm still feeling good.
You got to get that bye.
Yeah, got to get that first round bye. That's weird in baseball to say that. First round bye.
Just like throwing that out there because that was a little time capsule there. Yeah, got to get that bye in baseball. You know, just got to.
Yeah, it's just so weird. The other thing we got to talk about, we have a lot of little ons and ends here to talk about. You know, we always talk about Quinnipiac University Bobcats hockey.
You do this every year. God.
Every year. And ice hockey season is here.
No, it's not.
The women already started and they swept Maine already. They're 2-0. The men start on Saturday. College hockey season, it's here. You know that means college basketball season is also around the corner.
It's not. Yes, the sun is beaming through my window right now. It's 93 degrees here on a Monday evening. It's not. The hockey season has not started. I couldn't believe that I was seeing Bruins notifications in my sports apps over the weekend. I was just like, what is going on right now?
How fall is here is A, you're getting Bruins notifications on your phone. B, college hockey is back. C, college basketball is right around the corner. And for me here on the East Coast, at least on the lower East Coast, hurricane season is in full swing.
So. Oh, yes. Quick shout out. It's Ian Week for you right now.
It's Ian Week.
How's your path looking in southeastern Georgia there?
I mean, we're going to get rain and wind. I think that's about all we're really going to get here. But, you know, it's there is a very wide cone of uncertainty with this storm. So we'll see what actually happens. The other indicator of whether or not fall is actually here is pumpkin spice. So let's always end with food and talk pumpkin spice.
Let's always end with food on Instagram to follow all of our food chronicles. You know, I get into the dining. I got some great baking pumpkin wise. The pumpkin chocolate chip muffins and bread have been made by the wife this past week. Posted those on Always End With Food and my 19th old creations. You get into a little baking of your own as well too. So I enjoyed that pumpkin dessert. I've got some pumpkin beer reviews coming. Mike, there's a wonderful liquor store chain with the same initials as Tiger Woods that I won't give free advertising to, but they have a wonderful seasonal selection of beers. So I just found out that they've got like 100 different pumpkin beers and now I have to try them all. Pumpkin beer reviews coming soon at Always End With Food on Instagram as well.
All right. I am not going to look forward to it. I did see something on Facebook the other day, which I thought was hilarious, which was an auto shop, which was advertising pumpkin spice breaks being in stock for the year. So is that too far for you? Is that too much?
Wow. Interesting. I was debating the air freshener for the potential new car. Maybe if I get something in the next few weeks here, it'd be nice to maybe kick things off with a pumpkin spice air freshener. I know they're out there, so I'll have to look for that soon.
Yep. There you go. For me this weekend, we actually ventured to a rooftop bar in Savannah, not something we do very often. We were just, you know, enjoying the beautiful weather we were having on Friday evening. It was nice, like 70 degrees and dry, which is just so unheard of this time of year. Yeah. Happens every once in a while. And went up there to this nice, really comfortable lounge. We ordered ourselves a couple of mocktails and some dessert and just enjoyed the beautiful sunset. It was pretty spectacular.
How many rooftop locations really can you get yourself onto that are in a bar format like that in Savannah? Is that a popularized thing? It's getting pretty big here in Austin.
I mean, it's big. It kind of is. This is on top of a brand new hotel that they just built by the river, and they actually have two rooftop bars. This is more of a lounge to me. They call it a rooftop garden, actually. But it was really kind of more lounge-ish. It wasn't really a bar in the sense that we were seated by a host and we had a dedicated server. Which was really nice. Actually, they had couches and chairs and they had some tables set up. So we actually got ourselves a little couch corner. And so we got to kind of spread out a little bit and relax. And it was just very chill. It was really kind of calm. I'm not a bar guy. I don't want to be in there fighting for attention from the bartender to get a drink.
That's exactly your scene then. Cause you got the space to relax and enjoy the view and the vista. Cool. Good stuff.
I didn't love my drink, but that's okay.
Yeah, I know. Well, unfortunately, they're not experienced the way they need to be in the mocktail creation. So hopefully they come around eventually. That was Always End With Food. Check out the Instagram for more food content there. Always check out COL Podcast on IG as well for podcast content. Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to hit that subscribe button right now, wherever you are listening. And we'll see you next week.